for joining us on this week's episode of Gateway to the Smokies. This podcast is about America's most visited national park, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and surrounding towns. This area is filled with ancient natural beauty, a deep storied history, and rich cultures that we explore with weekly episodes. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, a man of the world, but also with deep roots in these mountains. My family has lived in the Great Smokies for over 200 years. My business is in travel, but my heart is in culture. Today's podcast, we're going to talk about photography in the Smokies. First, I'll give you a little bit of opportunities to experience mountain heritage. So as you know, we started the Smoky Mountain, the Meadowlark Smoky Mountain Heritage Center in Maggie Valley, as the Meadowlark Mark Motel Resort. On July 31st, we're going to have a great example of mountain heritage that we're having over the next few years. We're going to introduce people. Well, not introduce; they've been around for a long time. We're introducing to you our pod audience, Haywood County natives Charles Miller and Earl Lanning, who have roots firmly entrenched in the Smoky Mountain soil. Both men can trace their family tree in West Carolina back to the Revolutionary War era, and both had ancestors who fought in the 1776 Rutherford Campaign, the Battle of Kings Mountain. More importantly, these 21st century Renaissance men are passionate about history and art, and have led extremely interesting and colorful lives. Today, they are widely recognized for their expertise in 18th century history, firearms and accoutrements, as well as low genealogy, metalwork, and wooden and bronze sculptures, including a life-size sculpture of a mountain militiaman created by Lanning at the Haywood County Courthouse. Both artists are also renowned storytellers, which is a tradition in the mountains, and have been featured in national magazines, newspapers, and the book Colorful Characters of the Great Smoky Mountains by Bob. The Meadowlark Smoky Mountain Heritage Center and the Meadowlark Motel are honoring these two great Haywood County artists and historians with an entire day on July 31st, 2021, celebrating life by featuring traditional ballad singing, Honey Tunes by Will Ritter. And I saw him a few weeks ago, and he is fantastic. And he's going to play one of those made by Earl Lanning. There will be a handcrafted moonshine still by Charles Miller, along with other work that he has done. There will be a display of frontier dress and accoutrement with a talk by Bill Hanke. There will be a display of classic guns and sculptures created by Earl Lanning. It will culminate with an award presentations for lifetime achievement by the Meadowlark Smoky Mountain Heritage. Afterwards, there will be a dinner at world-famous J. Arthur Steakhouses. Space is limited. Go to the Meadowlarkmotel.com for reservations and to RSP for the dinner, which are two different things. You've got to book it to the event and RSVP for the dinner. So it'll be fun. There'll be seminars, displays, storytelling, books available, fun things to do. I guarantee it's a great heritage event. I want to tell you that you can find more about this podcast at gatewaythesmokies.fun. Most importantly, you can sign up for a newsletter there where we'll be letting you know about these kind of events on an ongoing basis. I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. I want you to imagine a place evocative, motor courts of the past, yet modern and vibrant, with a chic Appalachian feel. A place for adventure and for relaxation. Imagine a place where you can catch fish and a mountain heritage trout. Grill to catch a fire and eat accompanied by fine wine or craft beers. Imagine a place with old-time music and old-world cultural sounds. There is no other place like the Meadowlark Motel in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. Your Smoky Mountain adventure starts with where you stay. We're also sponsored by Smokies Adventure. That's Smokies, plural, adventuresearching.com. Information and listings about the Smokies. It features hiking and wedding and venues, books and trail maps and resources for experiencing the Smokies. And the emphasis of Smokey's Adventures, outdoor recreation, outdoor life events like wedding adventures, along with providing information on the lodging, family entertainment, events, conventions, honeymoon, and more. The goal has been to be the leading information portal on the Smoky Mountains. I remind you this weekend, again, in Maggie's Hillbilly Jam, run by my cousin Betsy Ramsey, and it's a beautiful two-day event. It features glorious music, crafts, food vendors that have moon from the Disney to the channel, Discovery Channel, car bike show, and more. And you can go to thehillbillyjam.com to find out more. Now, my guest today is Wayne Ebinger, who's a photographer. He is a Florida native now residing in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, where he owns and operates a successful photography business. Wayne has had a very diverse and interesting career as a former veterinarian, technician, a professional musician, and currently an award-winning photographer, well known for his photo local musicians, concerts, artists, and festivals, as well as the natural beauty of the Great Smokies. Hello, Wayne.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
You grew up in Orlando, Florida, and were educated at the University of Florida. You were originally to be a veterinarian. Is that something you got into?
Well, that's, yes. I noticed from a young age that I was kind of always leaning. I didn't notice it at that time, but I've always kind of gravitated to animals of any kind. But after I got into my more of a teens and adult thing, I just kind of said, this might be something I'd look into. So I went into that after high school and started working with a local veterinarian in Orlando. And that's where I started back in about 68, I guess it was, right after I graduated from high school. Stayed with that program and stayed with him, and he kind of mentored me. And I appreciated everything he did for me on those. And then things just kind of evolved. I've been very blessed for the multiple things that I've been involved with.
Well, that kind of career obviously takes a lot of commitment. And so when did you get out of that field?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, you obviously had to be very, very committed to be, in any kind of field dealing with medicine, whether it's personal or animals.
Absolutely.
Did you do that for it? I missed that.
When your heart's into what you want to do and one of your dreams, I just kind of engulfed it. I was working something like anywhere from 50 to 70 hours a week at this clinic with this veterinarian, and mm-hmm. just doing lab stuff and doing helping with surgeries and all that. And I just loved every minute of it. So I just engulfed myself and saturated with my life with that. And then, go ahead.
Did you decide to choose a different career path?
Because I started actually playing in drums when I was in 1963. And so that was going backward retro from that. So I was 13 years old, and actually I was playing in bands and through the younger days. And of course, back in the 60s, you were, I was actually playing in local lounges and plus youth centers and things like that. But I was under the cloak of darkness, I guess, when I was doing that underage. But music was another thing. I just loved doing it. And so that's part of what I tried to do all my life. And that's what I've been able to do for the last 40 or 50 years, all three of them, the photography, the music, and the veterinary field. Yeah.
So you were a drummer, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Yeah. You still do drumming profession?
I do. I've changed a little bit over the years. I switched from a drum set about 9 years ago when I came up here to permanently to live at our place, and I've been doing cajones and the percussion stuff for about 6 years, and so I couldn't get out of it. But now that I'm back, I had some issues that I couldn't use my hands and things, so they're coming back. So now I'm going back into the drum set. So I'm going to do that and play guitar and piano, whatever I can get a hold of.
Have you worked with any well-known musicians or bands?
What we're doing currently with one of our businesses here in town, just down the road, the Elevated Mountain Distillery, we created a open jam night on Wednesdays, And we have brought in, it's been going for almost 3 months now. And every week we have different people coming in with their instruments to come in and plug in. There's no fee or anything like that, just the camaraderie of the community. And it's had good results. And it's good for the distillery, too, for Dave Angel that owns it.
All right, well, we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to get into your photography career and find out more about photographing in the smoke.
Okay.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway Smokies podcast and a guest, Wayne Ebinger. So, Wayne, today you're renowned for your photography and particularly your shots of artists and concerts and festivals, but also the Smokies itself. How did you get started as a photographer?
There again, I kind of stumbled it back in the 60s with a Kodak Instamatic 110 camera. Because that's all I could afford back then in my early teens. And there was, back in the day, Dick Clark used to have a traveling show called the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars. And he would bring them into Orlando, and there'd be outdoor concerts and things like that. And I would just take photos with that. And plus, the music was a big interest at the same time with me. And so it kind of tied in together. And so I was taking photos of, like, Paul Revere and the Raiders and Dino Devi and Billy. And finally evolved into, like, Alice Cooper and things like that. But that kind of grew into that. And then when I went to college, I was doing landscapes up in the University of Florida area. And up there, in Florida, they have a lot of sinkholes. And there's one called the Millhopper, which is right outside the university. And so I would go there with my camera, shooting like black and white back then and on film, on film days. And so that's kind of got me going. And I had someone ask about, do I do weddings or something like that? And I said, no, but I do the camera. So I did actually my first weddings from a request from somebody from college. And then that worked that's another part of the photography business that I'll talk about too. But the music and the entertainers that I watched and photographed was really planted into something that I wanted to do, and I wanted to pursue that. So I did that, and I'll fast forward a little bit on the music. and the photography thing. Back in the late 90s, middle 90s and late 90s, there was a place in Orlando called the Plaza Live Orlando. It was a movie theater, a huge two-theater store, movie theater, but they closed it down and they opened it up with two stages, a large stage that could hold about 1,500 people and one that would hold 400 people next door. And so I was a house, they got me as the house photographer. And I, in over about 4 or 5 years, I did almost 400 shows, concerts there. And we had people like our bands, like Kev Moe. We had Asia, Kansas. Some of them were some musicals that came in there I would do through, but mostly it was all music. John Oates was there with Hall & Oates, and it was a blast doing that and being there for those that many years, meeting these people, and they're so genuine. Music and having that connection with music in my background opened doors for me to get into with the players that are there, and just like Tommy Emmanuel was there several times, and there's more current people. If I mention the other ones, most people won't know who they are, but that was that helped me solidify that part of it.
And so you're essentially self-taught, right? Are you self-taught?
Well, initially, I think probably most people are, especially at a young age like I was. But I did the photography, when it led into the weddings, it kind of I liked doing that because it was I just had fun doing it. Most people say, "Are you a photographer? You do weddings?" And most photographers say, "No, I wouldn't get near that." And I said, "Well, my wife and I said, let's try this." So we did. But I went to conferences and I was went to and listened to the main wedding photographers back then. One of them was Dennis Reggie, who did John Kennedy Jr.'s wedding. Another fellow named David Zeiser, and also Ernest Wilde, who was of Hasselblad, wrote Hasselblad books, and I was shooting Hasselblads when I was doing weddings. And so we just had a great time with that. And that business we had for like 30 years. We had a studio as well. But the weddings were a lot of fun. We just made it fun, made it enjoyable to do. So we did that, which helped me to, when we moved permanently up here in the mountains, we did the small weddings that are located here with the Appalachian Farm Weddings and some other country clubs that are around here. And those kind of venues were fun too, because they were small, quaint, and intimate, if you will.
Cool. Well, you know, plus, I've seen some of you, recently you're working at an event, the Smoky Mountain Center. I just saw the photos for that, which were great, right? I thought they were endless. Can you hear me? So I thought one of the impressive things about your videos is you're ready to capture this at their best. But at the same time, the audience doesn't realize you or anyone else is there. So it's very intimate and personal. How do you get people or things that are in front of you to be there? How do you get them to be in a moment like that the way you want?
From what I could hear from you, you're talking about being in the background. Is that what you're saying? Is with photography?
Sorry. I was asking. You get very. Can you hear me now?
It's a little tough.
How's that? Is it me? Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Better?
That's a little bit better right there.
Better.
Let's go with that, I think.
All right. Okay.
Well, one of my rules, in my personal rules, is to be what I call being very stealthy. I want to be unnoticed at any function, whether it's a concert or a wedding or whatever, or especially if I'm doing landscapes and tracking the elk down to Cataloochee or something. You got to be quiet and stealthy there. But because we have all the, which is reminds me a little bit aside, the Cataloochee here, valley where the elk live, come right over into Maggie Valley. on a very regular basis, and they come up into our yards, they hang out, you know, and they're part of the Maggie Valley family, which is a great draw for people to come here and for things to do here in Maggie Valley. So plus with Maggie Valley, just an awesome little place because they have a distillery with moonshine, like you had mentioned earlier, with the moonshiners coming in from the TV shows. I do a lot of work with them when they're in town. The Hillbilly Jam is this weekend of the festival. I'll be there both days photographing that festival. Just being quiet and not dress accordingly too. That's one of my bugaboos about what I've seen photographers in this with shorts on and white shirts or t-shirts. I like the black, you know, and that helps. Yeah, you know. But it's just an important thing for me.
Cool. Now, get a nerdy for a second. What technology and software and camera stuff do you use to do photography?
I use on the cameras. I'm going to cover that for a little bit. Then I'll get into the computers and what I'm doing with that. Of course, wedding photographer, I was doing Hasselblad, but it's once the digital age came in, I switched into Nikon 35 millimeter or the digital 35, what we call it, the digital modes. And I'm shooting that. That's my go-to setup with my normal lens is a 2.8 lens, which is a 17 to 55 millimeter, which is for like where I could do close-ups and group photos. And my other one is a 70 to 200 2.8 lens, which is great for low light. Both lenses are good for low light for concerts and what I do. And you can, if I'm doing landscapes and wildlife, the long lens, 80 to 200, gets you closer than, so you can get those nice shots of the elk and the wildlife or the eagles that we have at Lake Junaleska nearby. As for post-production, what I use is, of course, we're a computer, but I use Photoshop and Lightroom, and I have my system of uploading those, and I don't have to do much manipulation in the what I call the dark room on the computers. What I shoot, I try to make it as best as possible, so I don't have to go in and spend a lot of time on that.
So you know, every photographer I've known that are, you know, and are good, and I think I see that in yours. Usually will say something with their photos. So how do you get that into your photographs?
Oh, before I take the photograph, there's my eye, what I see is what you're trying to say. You're saying, a lot of it's there. And I have a second sense, I guess you will, or when I'm doing a concert, like the one we just did here with Darren Nicholson and his group for the Smoky Mountain Heritage group. There's just certain angles, and you have to see what the lighting is and where the people are and how they're sitting. So all that is going on in my – I never stopped and thought about it, but these things are all going on simultaneously, and I think – an angle, whether it be up or down, left or right, and zoom in or out. It just those things, I can see that. And then when I see that, I'll capture that moment.
Cool. So I'm going to get into some of your subjects. What's your favorite vacation that you've photographed?
Oh, the favorite? Oh, gosh. I'll do this first. There's actually my favorite group is because they're the ones that when I moved up here, they actually started me into the music and photography area with the local musicians in Western North Carolina here. And that would be the Balsam Range, which is some of the members are Darren Nicholson and Mark Pruitt, Tim Surratt, Caleb Smith, and Buddy Melton. And they kind of took me under their wing and brought me into their recording studio. And I got to meet musicians there, and my list of people just grew exponentially just because one group of people will see my work and then they would refer to other band members of other groups. And so I owe a lot to them, and they're always fun to photograph. I've been with them almost 9 years photographing that. Then some other one, as an individual, I know Tommy Emmanuel is very electric on stage with his guitar playing, and but there's so many of them. It's hard to pinpoint on that, but any musician is fun.
Have you ever shot any personal musical heroes? I mean, your taste run. Have you gotten the time to take any of them?
Can you hear? I couldn't hear.
Can you hear? Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the musical heroes. Yes, actually, when I was at the Plaza Live in Orlando Theater, Steve Gadd, now Dr. Steve Gadd, the drummer, he was playing there. He came there twice. He was with Bob James and his group of the jazz things, and so he was there that one night, and I got him to. He signed a drum head for me, and he put it on there, and I've got that on my wall. But Steve Gadd, as far as a musician, it's just because of me being the drummer kind of thing, it's just amazing to have met him. And he played there three or four times, and every time it was great to walk in. And when they know you when you walk in, it's very comfortable. It's like walking into a friend's house. Yeah.
Cool.
See Steve Gadd.
All right. When we come, I'm going to find out more about what you do. What your experience in the Smokies and Hanging Valley is, and things like that, and some of your locations for photography.
Some of the locations.
Can you feel informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, this is Franklin McElroy back with Gateway to the Smokies podcast. That's my guest, Wayne Ebinger. So, Wayne, what caused you to relocate to Maggie Valley and build your business here?
I'll try to make this as short as possible. But when I was doing the things back in Orlando, I was working 2 to 3 jobs. One of them was the veterinary thing 4 days a week, and weekends were open because of starting way back, because I was on the road being a musician on weekends. And so after I got off the road, off touring and stuff, I kind of had the photography had developed into what it was for the weddings. So we did that on the weekends and still do the veterinary in the week. But during that time, we were coming up to Maggie Valley in the mid-80s to my wife and I before we had our children. And would stay up here and just rent different places at Lake Junaluska, which is was the Methodist headquarters at the time. And we'd come up twice a year just for that. And I just, from there, the scenery, the mountains, we just fell in love with it because in Florida, you get nothing but flat land and hot and humid and things like that. But after a while, we decided to, bought some property in Maggie Valley, and then we paid that off, and then we built a house and then used it as a short-term rental here just for the summer. And it turned out to be a blessing as far as having it rented and taking care of itself. So after about 15 years, we had the crunch and all that in 2008. So anyway, we figured, what are we going to do? So I got to the time where I could retire from the veterinary thing. So I said, maybe we should go up to the house or something. But our kids said, why don't you go up to the mountain house and live? So we do that full time now since 2013. But being here in the meantime, when we'd come up and visit, the Blue Ridge Parkway is just around the corner from us. It's like from Maggie Valley, you take 5 miles west on SoCo and SoCo Road, and then make a left, and you're another 5 minutes, you're up on top of Water Rock Knob. And then you can take that Blue Ridge all the way into Asheville and beyond. Or if you made a right-hand turn, you end up in Tennessee. So, and there's a lot of so much scenic. They got the graveyard area. There's waterfalls through there, and it's a great day to hike. They've hiking up there, bike riding. So the things to do up here are just unlimited, especially if you're outdoors type. And of course, like I mentioned, the Cataloochee Valley is always great to do with the history that's there. And the old churches, Baptist churches that are up there from the 1800s, and a lot of beautiful mountain views from here too. Sunsets are just killer.
If somebody was coming to the mountains to take photographs, where would you recommend the best photographs to be?
I prefer, because our house actually looks west, although we're north facing it towards Cataloochee Mountain. The sunsets are just amazing. Kind of, I'm looking at your background right now, and this is what it looks like almost every night, especially in the fall when the cooler temperatures and the clouds and all come in. But that is just that's my go-to place. It doesn't take much time to get there, and you get great results. And also, a friend of mine was into astrophotography. And so I was going with him, and I learned a lot with him with telescopes and just amazing stuff, way beyond my capabilities of photography. But up there, you can get the stars, and we would actually find the planets and photograph them. But Water Rock Knob is great for evening photography. I would say Water Rock Knob is great because you have the option of shooting towards Cherokee, which you can actually see from Water Rock Knob, where the Indian Reservation is, and Harris Hotel and all that, and gambling. But that's a really nice place. Water Rock Knob is my favorite because it's nearby and there's a lot of things to do there. Hiking, biking, and photography.
And what are the best winter spots?
Best winter months?
Winter spots. The best winter spots.
Winter spots. Well, the whole place changes because you don't see leaves anymore. It's all empty branches. And every year we'll look over the mountain and say, wow, look at how many houses are there. We didn't know were there. You know, when we started up here 20-something years ago, you could count on your hand kind of like how many were across from you. But now it's like, and you can tell by the lights and that are on it. But it's the people have come in here and they're. But I would say in the wintertime, that the snows aren't really too bad. We have maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of the whole season that we have to walk down and get the car at the farmer, the Lewis farm, to get our car. But we have to walk about 3/4 of a mile to get down to it and go up to our place to get back. But the scenes for that, Lake Junaluska is nice to go through when it's in the winter in the snow, because they have the cross that's there on the lake. And as it's lit up and with the snow, it just makes a beautiful scene there. And even the places that, well, you can't go on the parkway when it's snowing and ice, so you can't really say go to a parkway in the wintertime because you're not, it's not safe and they close it down. So you're limited there. So you just have to kind of look around. And some of the streams are nice when you have the snow on the side, on the moss and the trees, and you've got those running waters in the streams or the rivers there. Jonathan Creek, which is just right behind the Meadowlark Motel here, is always moving. You hear that water in the stream, it just like puts you in another quiet, solitude place, and it's nice to do. But the streams are fun to do and experiment with. You see photographs of waterfalls or streams, and it looks like they look like milk. I call it milky look too, where all the water is kind of white and soft. Learning that technique to do that is simple to do, but doing that once you accomplish that, it's like look what I can do kind of thing, and show people and be but it makes the photo look so much nicer. It's a simple technique, but I won't tell how to do that just yet. Maybe next time.
So I know you mentioned Elk Fest, and so you photographed that. Any tips for photographing elk?
Well, the main thing is to respect them. You know, they are they're wild. Although they come up here and they'll come right up, you know, within 10 feet of you, but you just you keep your distance with them. Just be safe. Use your common sense. Don't feed them. Don't do anything like that, which people do. And then, you know, they're huge animals. I mean, they're bigger than horses, and that you don't know what they're going to do. And there's usually one male and about, and he's we have one. I'll tell a quick story about it. Coming up our driveway, I actually caught a little video of it. He was coming up the driveway. And he has his beautiful antlers, and they're just, which they lose every year, but they're very lightweight because they're just hollow, basically. But he was coming up, trotting up our driveway, which is about a 33 degree up the mountain thing. And so I'm watching, I'm doing a video of that. And I say, my wife, I saw her coming around the corner, getting ready to come up to make a little turn to go up the driveway. And I see her stop because it's not, you know, we see them all the time. So he came on up. It walked on up through the driveway and walked around. I named him Elvis the elk, which is kind of like not original, but it was nice. But it's a great video to do that. And we've had some of the males come up. And one day we were looking over our porch. Just say you're on your porch and there's 15 feet down. You look over the porch and here goes four females just walking right in front of us, going around the back of the house. And about 3 minutes later, Here comes the boy, you know, the male, because they're kind of like in the rut season and stuff. And so he comes right by, right in front of us, and walks up there, and they look at you, and they just keep walking through. But, you know, and you get photos like that, but the best place is in the fall when they get into the rut season, they start bugling, which is a beautiful sound that they make, calling the females. And with a long telephoto lens, you can go to the Cataloochee Valley. That's where they hang out in the evening for food and where they like to live. And there, that's where you get your best photographs in that elk area. Because it's and they're getting to a point now that they've maxed out. They've been here, what, I think 20-something years now, 22 years.
Has it been that long? Wow.
Yeah. When they moved them, because they used to be here, and then they brought some in from out west. And this is the group, and they keep going.
Yeah,
it's so funny. You can be driving. I can be driving home here, right on Soco Road, here in front of the Meadowlark Motel, and here comes, you know, anywhere from six to I've counted 18 at one time. The elk walking on the sidewalk, coming up through or crossing through. And of course, people stop, you know, and they watch and look at it, but just let them go, let them be. But so. At least we have the cell phones now. At least you can get pictures on the cell phone. So if you don't have a camera, you can do that.
Right.
But being quiet and stealth and just don't get too close.
Well, that's, I mean, I think it's a society. I don't think Elkfest is coming back here, but it'll be back next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great festival celebrating the elk and all the culture and all the things that you can do around here to experience the elk.
Yeah, that was a great festival they had there. Unfortunately, because of the COVID thing, we had a little couldn't do that this year.
Good. And then they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it scheduled for this year. So we'll be there next year. Do you have to? I was wondering. Do you have permits or fees to do photography in the snatch?
Repeat that again.
Do you have to have any permits or fees required to do say commercial photography in Smoky Mountain Park, the national park?
Not that I'm aware of. Although I found out because I'm in the senior group, I was able to get a lifetime membership for national parks for $10. Okay. I said, okay, that's good. So my wife and I did that, and fishing too, but not. To photograph, I don't believe you need to have anything like that.
All right.
I do real estate photography too when I'm asked to do that, but no.
Okay, cool. All right. When we come back, you're well known for knowing about the venues and events and things. So I'll find out some of your favorite places and different kinds of events when we come back.
Looking forward to it. Okay, let's do that.
All right.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy, back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast, and my guest, Wayne Imager. So, Wayne, you've done so much photography of musicians and artists in this area. You've been to a lot of places. So imagine we got a tourist that's coming here, and we're going to talk to them. I'm going to pick some places of types, and you can tell us which might be the best variety. For example, if somebody's looking for a regional music venue where you might hear acoustic music or an artist performing, where we go?
Especially if they were coming into this area, the Maggie Valley area, I had mentioned the Elevated Mountain Distillery, which is just down the road from Metal Ark Motel with Dave Angel. He has a entertainment there five nights a week now.
Wow.
Different things. Wednesday night, we opened up the, we started a open jam for musicians on Wednesday nights. Thursday night, they have karaoke, and there's some great local talent and people coming in here with karaoke. I was worried about karaoke, but there's some great voices out there that are not in groups and things. And then Friday and Saturday, they have bands, and it could be anywhere from bluegrass to jazz to just a rock band, too. There's a lot of that going on, too. But that's on Friday and Saturday. And sometimes on Sundays, you'll have other events, too, with music related there. That's right here in Maggie Valley. The other closest would be in Asheville. I do a lot of photography at a place called Isis Music Hall, which is in the west side of Asheville. And they have a stage area where you can have dining, and great food there. And then they also have a lounge upstairs. And they can have lounge shows first, like from 6 to 8. And downstairs they'll have, with the dinners, 8 to 11 or so. So two things can be going on there. And they have big band stuff. They have bluegrass. They've had any of the venues. What I like about the Isis is because he has a great genre of different types of music there. The other ones that are around would be, I'm trying to think of the name. They just changed the name of it. They just opened one up. It's called the Hazel Robinson Amphitheater, which is in Asheville, which is an open theater, which is normally was for stage productions like Shakespeare and things like that. But now they've had Balsam Range opened it up this year in April when the first thing of COVID opened up. So we did the first concert down there, out there and outside. It's perfect stadium seating outside.
And they're doing outside. They're doing live-in concert now, aren't they? The pandemic, this concept of the concert, right?
Yes, right here at the festival ground where they have Hillbilly Jam's going to be this weekend. In the winter, it was like in the 20s and 30s, but they invented the thing where they had the drive-in concerts. Where you come into your car and you stay in your car, you don't get out, and the band's playing on the stage, and you can X amount of dollars to get in with a carload of people. And you bring your own food, but it was our house sets right above the festival grounds, and I can see the stage from my house. We're at 3,500 feet up, and we can hear it. It was too cold to go there and do one of the shows, guys. I'm not going down there, but we sat out on our porch on our little thing with the fire pit and just listened to the music. It was Grace Potter was playing, and they've had Sam Bush there this year. Grace Potter and Del McCurry has been there, and Keller Williams, and I think I had like five of those concerts there. But the concert thing was a great invention. I don't know if it's going to work when we get back to normal things or not, because people want to get out and talk to people.
The wind sounds like it might have a remote chance. We'll have to see. That's kind of cool. So. Yeah. Hey, what about traditional singing? I know that there's the stomping grounds that has been a long time, but has stuff on Saturday nights. But is there any places that are good around the area? Asheville?
Yeah, the stomping grounds have been a mainstay here for clogging. That's what it's all about there. And they're open just in the fall, the summer and up into the fall. And it's Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and a lot of room for parking. And the clogging, if you've not seen it or into it, it's a wonderful place. It's a huge, like an antique looking barn, but a huge, huge place to for entertainment. But the stomping ground is great. Until, of course, one of the legends was here. His hometown was Raymond Fairchild, and he had a place right across from the distillery. And called the Maggie Valley Opry. And he would play every Friday and Saturday night. And I would go down there and photograph him and sit with him and be talking. But unfortunately, we lost him 2 years ago coming up this year. And what a character Raymond Fairchild was. So you got, that kind of dance. I think they're starting now to have dance clubs or something like that in Waynesville, which is just around the corner from Maggie Valley. And but I haven't looked. I just heard about that, so I think that's a plus where people can get out. Which they might have ballroom dancing. I think they're going to do that, waltz, whatever Methodist.
They have the street dances on Friday nights too, right? Waynesville.
Yeah. They do. Yep. Waynesville kind of shuts down after 5 o'clock. That's why one of the reasons we like to move up here. But they have one coming up. I think Darren Nicholson and his band's going to be there in about a week or two with the Friday night street dance. And they've reincorporated this year with the Folkmoot coming to town. That's been on hiatus too. But they close the street down, and you have live bands and entertainment vendors and local entertainment, local music. And it's a great thing. It's free. You know, people can go down there and just have fun with that.
So you know, I bet you know a lot about festivals. Which are the best in the area for somebody to come?
The festivals?
Yeah, which festivals in the Western North Carolina that are annual, the best ones to come to?
Of course, the Hillbilly Jam has been a mainstay. This is their 10th year. I've been involved with them for 9. The Lake Logan, which is the Episcopal Church owns that, which is a beautiful place there for recreation. They've been for boating and camp. I'm not sure, but they have the outside concerts as well in the summer, usually around July. The other festivals, there's the in Hendersonville or down south in Brevard, they have the White Squirrel Festival, and there's all kind of festivals. You know, there. If you have an idea, it could be an acorn festival if you haven't had an acorn. Or but it doesn't matter. People are going to go because it's fun and music. But there's around the Asheville area. Oh, there's another place, a new venue that's been out. It's called the Barn at Paint Fork, which is nearby here, up above Weaverville, and they're having the group called the Outlaws, which is well-known rock group, if you will, and Balsam Range, and they bring people in there. But it's a beautiful place and venue for live entertainment, and that's about a 45-minute drive from Orlando, from Maggie Valley. And but that's one of the newer venues. But music you can find it up here, and that's what it's about. When I got here, it was like, oh my goodness, all these young kids, and they learn to play music. On instruments when they're 5 years old, and they're just
we got to come to an end here. Okay. I want you to tell people how they get a hold of you, how they see your work.
Okay, right now I don't have a web page, excuse me, anymore. When I moved up here, I just Facebook was doing well, so I just kept. You can catch me on Facebook, Wayne Ebinger. That's the name, and then you'll see what my recent. Photographs are and the people I've been photographing, and actually the concert I did here just this past weekend will be on there starting tomorrow.
And if they want to do work with you, to hire you for some work, what would they do?
They can contact me through the messenger on there. It'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show. At the end of it, we're on talk. Talkradio.ny network. It's a fabulous network for all sorts of podcasts. We're here every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. Rector is one about New York City and exploring New York City. So I'd love for you to experience all that New York and the Smith Smoky Mountain have to have. And I'll see you next week on the same time as Avis.
Did you know that nearly 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Makes Wealth.
It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.